just can, that you'd kneel with me in a word of prayer. My dear Heavenly Father, as we come before you this night, it is in thanksgiving and praise to thee for the opportunity that we've had this day to meet in thy name. Father, I pray that you would be with us here in this service. I pray that you bless the one that would speak to us, that you would truly pour out your Spirit upon him, that you'd touch his heart and move upon him, that he might speak those words, Father, which would go but with thy Spirit to our hearts. And I pray, Lord, that you'd open our hearts, that they might be ready to receive. I pray that you might be with our brother Jensen and each of those that are sick and afflicted, Lord, for we know there are many. Pray that you'd lift them up according to thy precious promises and thy great mercies. Father, I pray as well that you bless those that have spiritual problems, that you'd lift them up and grant them strength. I pray, Father, that you'd be with Mike and Val as they'd come forward to be administered to this night, that you would bless them according to those things that they seek, and that we might each come in faith, Lord. I pray that you would bless your church. Pour out your Spirit upon it, Lord, in all of its parts. Pray that you call more laborers in thy vineyard and bless those like Dawn and Jay that travel in the missionary field. Pray that you'd keep them safe and that you'd bless their labors. I do pray as well for those that are isolated, Lord, that you would go out to them and strengthen them. And I pray, Father, that where there are those that are willing to meet, Lord, that you'd call pastors and teachers that could care for those. And I pray even now, Lord, that you would truly be with us this night, for we stand in need of thee. We know that without thee we are nothing and we can do no good thing. And so I pray, Lord, thy Spirit would be here upon us. And I ask it in the name of Christ. Amen.
Right.
you very much for that. I ask now that you would give your prayerful attention to the things that our brother Bill would have to say to us tonight. And that you'd search your heart. Find something in the message for you. That's our responsibility. I give to you our brother, Bill Malone.
Thank you, Joel. Did you ever wake up in the morning and be going along, kind of singing a song in the back of your mind and not really even thinking about it? Well, I did that this morning. I got up and I was taking a shower and I realized that there was a song going in my mind that I hadn't even thought about it. Just very kind of subconsciously. And I thought about it and wondered if, well, I wonder if that would have any place in my sermon today, or if that's a message that God was helping me to maybe present. And time went on. It left my mind, and then this afternoon, just a couple of hours ago, I was working on my sermon, and that song came back to me in my mind. And it's the second song that they did in this medley, "The Lily of the Valley." And just as I was thinking about it the second time this afternoon, if that had a place, just within a few seconds after it came to my mind, I heard Karen playing it on the piano. The first words of that song start out, "I have found a friend in Jesus." And I wrote that down at the top of my page. And I thought it kind of strange when Michelle this evening said that she had changed that. She hoped that it had some, meant something to me. Because I'm sure she didn't hear me singing in the shower this morning. You know, when I think of that song, "The Lily of the Valley," it brings back a thought from a long, long time ago when we were having church services at my folks' house when I was just a kid. We'd sing that song, and my mom would make the comment that kind of reminded her of me, only not the exact words. She always referred to me as Willie of the Alley. I heard on the radio a few days back, a guy made a statement that when a person is talking, they can speak about 125 words per minute average. And then the human mind can actually comprehend about 400 words per minute. And I thought about that, and he went on to explain, and when you think about it, you pretty much have to agree with him. That's what causes your mind to wander and causes you to possibly jump to conclusions sometimes, because you're way ahead of a person when they say a sentence. You're thinking well beyond what has been, what could be the next thoughts that he might be saying. That your mind has that ability to race ahead, and perhaps words that are spoken remind you of something else that might cause you to lose your concentration. Now, I'm just wondering what you're going to do with those other 275 words per minute that's going to be going through your head. You know, it's a natural thing. And I have to admit that it happens to me too, but it's a very natural thing for those thoughts to race through your mind. I noticed while we were singing a song back here during song service, you can sing a song and you're thinking of something else at the same time that you're singing that song that might be related to some of the words in the song or a phrase in the song, that your mind has that capability of rushing ahead. And it's natural. But to hear everything that's said, it requires a person to actually concentrate on slowing down your thoughts. I hope you don't slow down enough that I put you to sleep. But I would like you to slow down your thoughts and concentrate on the things that are being said. Concentrate on the message. Not just the message that I have, but anybody that stands behind this pulpit. That natural ability that you have of racing ahead with your mind, you need to overcome. Just like we need to overcome the many, many characteristics and tendencies that we have that are natural. You know, the scriptures tell us the natural man is an enemy to God. And this is just one small way that could apply. That we don't concentrate on what we're hearing. So we need to overcome that natural ability that we have and that instinct that we have. It's been about 6 months since I stood up here. Certainly not something that I'm proud of. Sometime last summer, I undertook a business venture that just kind of seemed to overwhelm me. Something that I thought would be easily controllable and something that could earn some extra money and do something that I enjoyed doing. But I grossly underestimated the time and the efforts and the money that it would take to embark on that business venture. And I'm sure there are many here that saw the effect that it was having on my life also. I had made a commitment in the advertising and the money that I spent and the time that I was putting into that I wanted to do a good job at it. And I wanted to be able to keep that commitment that I had made. The commitment through advertising, telling them that I can do certain things, and I wanted to be able to do that. But it got to the point that it was just too much of a commitment. And I justified it in that, well, the people that we took on those tours, all of them enjoyed it immensely. And we enjoyed it. Karen and I enjoyed it. While we were doing those tours, it was something that was enjoyable to us. And I tried to justify it that way. But it just took too much time away from some of the other responsibilities that I had. And one of those major responsibilities that I let it take time away from was my ministry. Now, Jesus told us in the 6th chapter of Matthew, you cannot serve two masters. And I guess in retrospect, I guess that's what I was trying to do, was serve two masters. And it just wasn't working. He also said in the sixth chapter, where your treasure is, there will your heart be also. And that isn't something that I wanted. I knew where my first loyalty needed to be, and that was to my God. When I started my main business, Avanti Circuits, I started out with a lot of prayers and with continued prayers throughout the life of that company. And there was a lot of other people that offered many, many prayers for that business to prosper. And it has prospered. It's been very successful. But there's not many days that go by or prayers that go by that I offer that I don't include asking for God's blessing and continued blessing in that effort, on that business, that I might make the right decisions, that the business might prosper. And it's something that we're told in the scriptures that we must do. That's my flock in the field that I need to pray over. And when I was starting this touring business, I felt guilty in asking God to bless my efforts in that. Right from the very start, I should have known, because I didn't go into that asking God first if that's something that I should do. I looked at it more as, oh, like a hobby that I can just take it or leave it whenever I want to. And I finally got to the point that it was tearing me apart. And I couldn't go on like I was, because it was affecting me and my relationship with a lot of the loved ones here. And I finally asked, after several months, humbly asked for God's help in letting me know what direction I should take. And I prayed about it quite a bit. But yet I didn't hear any voice. I didn't feel like I was led to do such and such. And it bothered me. Because I've experienced before times when God has spoken to me very strongly to let me know a direction that I should take. And I've listened to your testimonies bearing that same witness. And yet it wasn't there. Why wasn't it there? And one day, it just kind of hit me. And it reminded me of a time way back, just back close to when I was first married, when I used to smoke. And I started attending church, and I prayed that, you know, something that wasn't hurting anybody else, why shouldn't I be allowed to do that? And I prayed for an answer. And my answer finally came with the thought, eliminate the problem. Eliminate the question. And you don't have to worry about it. And that's the answer that I got. And within just a few hours after I felt like I had received the answer that I needed, I just immediately started shutting it down. And immediately, the things that I had let enter into my life, the hardness that had entered in, started diminishing. It didn't go away instantly, but it started diminishing. And it was proportionate with the efforts that I made to get back where I needed to be. And I do thank those who spend a lot of time in prayer on my behalf, because the problem was quite evident at times. You know, I look back at where did the problem start? Where did it originate? How would I let something like that happen to my life? As close as I felt to God, why would I drift and wander away again when I've seen the miraculous things that He has in store for us? And it comes right down to pride. Something that every one of us have to a certain degree, a certain amount of pride in our life. There is no place for pride in the kingdom of God. And on the opposite end, the only way that you can be part of the kingdom of God is with sufficient humility. That's a lesson that I'm sure each one of us here have learned and experienced firsthand from time to time. Sometimes it's kind of hard. And sometimes it's really difficult to swallow that pride that gets in our way, that keeps us from being where we should be. You know, nobody likes to be humbled. In Alma, 16th chapter of Alma, you can read about a story about people that were compelled to be humble, and how God said, how much more blessed are they who are humble without being compelled. Sometimes we need to be compelled. Joel spoke this morning of an instance that came to my mind. When our dear brother Hausnick stood, in this room, and spoke with the gift of tongues, it's about 10 years ago, and when he stood and spoke, he was looking over my direction, and I kept thinking, I hope he's not talking to me. Although I knew that I needed to be talked to. I guess somewhere back there in my mind was this other little voice saying that I hope he is. He spoke to many people that day. He gave the interpretation after he spoke in tongues. And he did speak to me. Think about that. God speaking directly to me. It was a humbling experience because it was a chastisement. There's lots of ups and downs in my life, and that was another one of those instances where I was down. I'm not keeping up to my 125 words a minute. But I thank God. I thank Him for that chastisement that He gave to me that day. I knew that I needed it. And it was done in such a gentle way. That only God could have done to bring me down from the pride that was in my heart at that time. You know, I could say things to you that might be the truth, and I could be really indignant about it, and I could be 100% right in the things that I'm saying, but the way that I say it could make enemies out of us if you were to allow it. If you were to allow yourself to take offense to something like that, I could do a lot of damage by speaking the truth. And I thought about the things, the way that it was worded when God spoke to me that day. Of how much love that He has for you and for me, for each of us. And it was so tender, something that I will cherish all of my life. God chastising me. I could have jumped up and stormed out. And if it was delivered any other way, I probably would have. You know, we like to have the, us guys anyway, like to have that big macho attitude. You know, I'm pretty strong. I can handle all kinds of stuff. I don't need to bother God with this stuff. I'm a tough guy. I can handle it. I've handled lots of situations that were very, very stressful. Situations that took a strong character. And at times I've handled them pretty good. And I like to think of myself as a pillar of strength, you know, in temporal things. An analogy that I made once about strength is the strength that you'd find in a fist like this. You know, this fist could do a lot of damage. But it couldn't do near the damage that this mouth could do. Not near as much. And on the same token, when you put this fist and this fist together, fall to your knees, you've got a strength that's beyond comparison. It's a shame that God has to chastise us sometimes to make us remember those things. When we're right and we're letting somebody else know that they're wrong, we can do it in a way that'll yank the rug out from underneath of them and send them tumbling. Or we can do it in a way similar to the way that God would do it, that's gentle, accepting the possibility that, well, maybe you misunderstood me because I didn't present it right, or something like that. You know, there's a little plaque at Roger and Martha Bruner's house that I really like. It says, when a person needs loving the most is when they deserve it the least. And how true that is. How strong are you spiritually? Are there things in your life that you can see that need correction? That perhaps pride is keeping you from being where you need to be, where you know you should be? You know, I think of that situation where Christ looked down upon those who had crucified him and mocked him. Instead of calling a legion of angels to come to his rescue, he says, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And Stephen, when he had preached the gospel, he spoke words that caused the people to cover their ears. They couldn't hear it. And in the 7th chapter of Acts, it records that they gnashed on him with their teeth and they threw him out of the city. And they threw rocks on him because he had said he looked up into the heavens and he saw Jesus Christ on the right hand of God. They couldn't hear it. So they're killing him. They're throwing rocks at him. They're going to kill him. And what's the last thing he says to him? Lay not this sin to their charge. You know, we've got some tough times ahead of us. And it's ever so close. I can remember 20 years ago, as a small little church group, we would take clippings out of the newspaper that talked about the signs of the times. You don't need to do that anymore. You just take that whole newspaper and set it down there. The signs of the times, the things that have to take place prior to Christ coming again. Oh, how glorious that day is going to be when he does come. But how perilous those days are just before his coming. There are times that are going to be so bad that unless they're shortened, the very elect would be destroyed. That very elect is you and me. And we're not going to make it if we're going to allow pride in our life. If we can't sufficiently humble ourselves and listen for that voice of God to speak to us, to help us over our troubled times and guide us in the things that we should do and the paths that we should be going down. It's so easy to walk in our own ways because that's the natural thing. God, if you'll just help me this once, I won't bother you again. That's not what he wants. It's not what he means when he says, pray morning, noon, and evening. Pray constantly. Be diligent in prayer. We are a very blessed people in a land that is a choice land above all others. And we look around and I do want to read a little bit in the first chapter of Ether. Verse 31, and we might even get to this yet this year in Sunday school. And now we can behold the decrees of God concerning this land. It is a land of promise, and whatsoever nation shall possess it shall serve God, or they shall be swept off when the fullness of his wrath shall come upon them. And the fullness of his wrath cometh upon them when they are ripened in iniquity. For behold, this is a land which is choice above all other lands. Wherefore he that doth possess it shall serve God, or shall be swept off. For it is the everlasting decree of God. This nation is not serving God. A few people throughout the nation are, but the nation is not serving God. We read also in... I'm going to read one more verse in the first chapter of Alma, verse 48. I was watching television yesterday or the day before, and on comes this advertisement for this kid's not doing too good in school. So his mother comes up with a solution. I'm going to send him to a psychic, a soothsayer, a sorcerer. This is what scriptures tell us about soothsayers and sorcerers and fortune tellers. And thus they did prosper and become far more wealthy than those who did not belong to the church. For those who did not belong to the church did indulge themselves in sorceries, and that's associated with idolatry and idleness and babblings and envyings and strife, wearing costly apparel, being lifted up in pride, persecuting, lying, thieving, robbing, committing whoredoms, murdering, all manner of wickedness. That's what goes along with fortune telling and soothsayers and sorcerers. We have legalized murder and abortion. This country is behind it. The law says that you can do that. It's not illegal in this country to commit adultery or fornication. It's legal. You can see fortune tellers advertised on television. And then there's David Koresh in Waco, Texas. I'm going to read in the 24th chapter of Matthew about that. Starting in verse 21, for then shall be great such as was not since the beginning of the world to this time, no, nor ever shall be. And except those days should be shortened, there should no flesh be saved. But for the elect's sake, those days shall be shortened. Then if any man shall say unto you, Lo, here is Christ, or there, believe it not. For there shall arise false Christs and false prophets, and shall show great signs and wonders, insomuch that, if it were possible, they shall deceive the very elect. You know, I don't know if this guy is anything more than just some crazy kook. I know he qualifies for that, but what if he were to do, what if something was to happen that he did something great and miraculous, and people started believing him and following him? And if he doesn't, I believe, according to the scripture, that there will be others that come along that will make that claim that they are Christ. They're the Son of God. And that they will be able to do these great signs and wonders. And a lot of people are going to follow them. They're going to fall for it. Skip over to verse 32. Now learn a parable of the fig tree. When its branch is yet tender and putteth forth leaves, ye know that summer is near. So likewise ye, when ye shall see all of these things, know that it is near, even at the doors. Verily I say unto you, this generation shall not pass till all these things be fulfilled. Heaven and earth shall pass away, but my words shall not pass away. This generation, the generation that sees these things happen, that's you and that's me. We can see these things happening today. The branch is tender and is putting forth its leaves. Christ is coming, and it's not very far away. Are you ready for him? Have you prepared yourselves to meet him? When you come face to face with him, when he comes to meet his saints, is he going to say, Well done, thy good and faithful servant. Enter ye in. Or is he going to call you by name and say, What about this? And what about this? And what about this? Those little things that are in your mind that you hear this voice telling you from time to time, you really shouldn't be doing that. Or you shouldn't say that. Or you ought to be treating somebody a little bit better. Or what difference does it make whether they're right and you're wrong, or you're right and they're wrong? They're still a brother, a child of God. Treat them like Jesus would treat them. Treat them like you would like to be treated. I hope and I pray that I can allow this pride that I have in my life from time to time to be taken from me. It isn't something I'm going to overcome by myself, and it's not something you can overcome by yourself. And this, I'm sure, is a very minor thing with some people, and maybe pretty major with others. If it isn't a problem that you have, it's a problem that some of the rest of us do have. And let's make it a matter of prayer. I think about our conferences coming up. What would happen at that conference if everybody there was sufficiently humble that God could speak to us and guide us and direct us and lead us in those avenues that we know we should be taking. But we have so much conflict and turmoil that it seems a lot of times things just don't get done. It can happen. It can happen if we do our share. Another thing I was thinking of is an instance Joel mentioned this morning. It made me think of times when I get the most out of services. I can come to maybe a prayer service or a sacrament service or at reunion time. And I look back at when did I get the most out of one of those services? When did I get the most out of it? It's when I really put myself into it. And I applied myself. And I got down on my knees and I prayed earnestly. And I became a part of it instead of just something that was somebody that was sitting back listening to everybody else. I participated in it. And I gave testimonies of the many blessings that I've witnessed. That's when I got the most out of those services. And that's when I witnessed miracles, miraculous things like one of the times Brother Hausnick spoke in tongues. And I've heard it many times. Heard him speak under the influence of the Spirit of God. Thus saith the Lord. It's a marvelous experience. It's a gift that I hope God will see fit to bestow upon others of our ministry here from time to time. And I believe the scriptures bear me out that if we humble ourselves sufficiently, those gifts are ours for our benefit to utilize them. They're within our reach, but we have to reach. He's not going to shove them on us. I thank you for your time.
Thank you. You can be turning to page 345, and I'm going to read the announcements for the remainder of the week.
My love is there, my love.
Would you bow your heads with me in prayer? My dear Heavenly Father, as we come once again this day, and at the close of this day, it is in thanksgiving, Father, we have this opportunity to hear, Father, the trials and the troubles of the true man. To know, Father, that you are ever there for your children. I pray, Lord, that as we would each struggle through life, through its many problems and temptations, and we pray, Lord, that you grant us strength and humility. I thank you, Father, for the testimonies that we have of thy children. And the one that has spoken to us this day, that we have this opportunity to look at life as it truly is before us. Lord, grant us strength in our endeavors. Grant us, Lord, strength over the temptations that we find out there in this world that would seek to draw us astray. Lord, I pray that you'd call out after us and bring us back unto thee. I do pray, Father, for our brother Jensen, that you would care for him in this time of great need that he has. Lift him up, Lord, according to thy tender mercies. I pray as well for Dick Sloan. And Lord, I pray that you grant him comfort and strength. Lord, that you grant him peace, and that he might know of thy abiding presence in his life. I pray that as well you bless those that are having marriage problems, Lord. Reach out unto them, Lord, I pray. And I pray that you'd help them, that they could put aside their own desires and that they might work, Father, according to thy desires. I pray as well for Don and Jay, that you'd bless them as they would travel on the morrow. Lord, that you'd keep them safe and hold them in thy care, knowing the many dangerous miles they have yet to travel. Yet I know, Father, that you have the power to hold them in the hollow of thy hand. I pray now that you'd go with each of us as we would go from here. Lord, until we would meet again, I pray that you'd grant us strength. Especially thy young people, Lord, be with them. Grant them strength in every day as they would walk in life. Help them that they could overcome the temptations of this world. And I would ask, Father, even now that thy love would rain down upon us. Help us that we might have a greater love. And I pray these things in the name of Christ. Amen.